Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
So it's 3 weeks today that the first semi-final of Eurovision will take place in Malmo, which means 3 weeks tonight, Bambi Thug will take to the stage to represent Ireland. It would seem that Bambi Thug is hotly tipped to at very least get out of that semi-final, and indeed a dark horse to win overall now. Going down really well is Bambi with Doomsday Blue at the pre-Eurovision concerts, which are a huge thing in Eurovision world. Dermot Manning joins me, a veteran of how many Eurovisions is it now, Dermot? Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, it's 31 years since I first went to Mill Street all those years ago, PJ. Yeah. And this will be my 24th year at the contest.
Okay. Now, these pre-contest concerts that take place all over Europe, Bambi Thug is kicking it out of the ballpark and has run up the rankings in terms of qualifying at least for the final.
I know. I mean, I actually checked it there myself this morning just because I saw it actually online last night that people saying that Ireland, we're now ahead of the UK in the betting odds. And I said, sure, that can't be right. Only Alexander, that, you know, years and years singer. But it's true. We're 12th overall in the betting odds. This is for the entire contest. Weirdly, though, we're only 9th for our own semi-final, which I think is strange, given that, you know, we're quite high up in the overall odds. But we are 12th. So, that, I mean, and the great thing is that puts us on the left-hand side of the scoreboard, which is always a great ambition for countries in the voting tally, as it were, every year. But yes, certainly the highest we've been in the betting odds in my memory, I don't remember, I think back to probably Jedward back in 2011, the song Lipstick was the last time we were, you know, consistently in the top 10 of the best in the betting odds running up to the contest. So yeah, and I think it is due to the fact that, you know, these pre-shows, as you're talking about, these concerts around Europe, they've become a big, big feature. They started about 2009-2010 in Amsterdam. And very simply, the reason Amsterdam was, it was such a central place in Europe. And somebody in Amsterdam had the idea, well, you know, everyone's kind of in rocking around this neck of the woods. So why don't we all bring them into the city like a month before the final, give them a bit of exposure, give them a bit of experience, get them all meet each other and see how their songs sound live. Because before that, PJ, you and I would know from going to the contest, a lot of the times, the first time these singers had the experience of singing on a big, big stage in a big arena will be when they rocked up at the contest itself. And some were able to do it, like Niamh Kavanagh, who had the experience of doing it before. But an awful lot of singers like crashed and burned badly when they were exposed to this huge, big, big space they have to try and fill with their voice.
And would I be right in saying, too, Dermot, that Bambi is probably the first act, the first of our acts, that's really gone hell for leather with these concerts?
Yeah, I mean, well, she's certainly doing, I think, all of them, which is good to see. I think most have done, I mean, Irish performers did the London one. There's a big one in London, the London Eurovision Party, and Amsterdam, the Amsterdam concert, which is the sort of the mother of those particular events. But there's now one in Barcelona. There's one in, excuse me, there's one in Stockholm. There's one in, where else was there? There's one in, there used to be one in Tel Aviv. There's one, I mean, they've been all over the place. And so, yeah. Yeah, and the Spain, the Madrid party was enormous. I don't know if you saw that online.
I did saw like some of the YouTube videos. They're enormous.
7,000-8,000 people there. I mean, they're nearly as big as Eurovision itself, which is quite extraordinary.
Actually, I think Bambi has thrown a bit of shade over RTE, because RTE are not paying for them to attend the parties, which is a networking opportunity. Say there a second, Dermot. I want to bring up this voice note that came in to me last week from a listener to the show and indeed a fan of Eurovision. This is what Ger had to say.
Hi, PJ. How are you? Loving the show as always. Just to say, we were away over Easter, myself and one or two buddies, and we were in like France, Luxembourg, you know, driving around, picking up various radio channels as you go. And we heard quite a few of the Eurovision songs for countries in mainland Europe. And this is my question to you as another Eurovision fan. Why don't we play our Eurovision song here in Ireland on any radio station? I haven't heard it since the week after it won, when it was, you know, on air a lot. Nobody plays our Eurovision entry, and then it's brand new on the night and then it's forgotten about. Whereas in Europe, they play their songs all the time. Just wondering.
She has a point, doesn't she, Dermot? It's not being played.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And actually, your researcher mentioned that point to me last night when we were chatting. And I've been thinking about it. And I think the answer I can come up with is that Ireland sees Eurovision very, and I think I'd include the UK here as well, very differently to the way it's seen in Europe. In, like you mentioned, Luxembourg. Luxembourg is a good example. They're back in Eurovision this year for the first time since Mill Street, believe it or not, 31 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, making a big return this year. So it's a big, big story in Luxembourg, and you know, they're very excited to be back, and they've made a lot of publicity behind their, they had a huge contest, by the way. It was actually the same weekend we chose we had your song, and I remember watching it online, and little Luxembourg, tiny country in Europe, and their contest was huge.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, the production values were stunning, and I compared it to the Little Late Late Show. And I mean, what I think the thing is, though, that we in Ireland still see Eurovision as event television. It's something that happens in May. So people in Ireland, bar like when we actually have Eurosong in February or March or whatever, they don't tend to think about the contest again until like the week of the contest in May. It was like that in Liverpool last year, you know, like it was a big build up to it. And we also got the BBC coverage. But reality, the Wild Youth song really only got played here like in the week when it was actually in the semi-finals were happening over there.
I think we played it the day of the semi-final. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. So whereas, I mean, we don't tend to, I mean, the song, and also, you know, there's a large part of it is what songs are in the charts get played, and if the song isn't in the charts or whatever, it doesn't get onto playlists either. But I think it is a factor that, you know, people tend to think about the Eurovision in Ireland, you know, when it comes up, you know, so in this case, in another 2 weeks' time, when all of a sudden there'll be, you know, lots of ads on telly, you'll see like promos in RTE, they'll be saying, tune in next Tuesday at 8 o'clock to see Ireland, and, you know, and you'll see it then, and there'll be ads on the radio and stuff. So, you know, and there'll be newspaper coverage. So, I mean, people will think about it, so people will play the song then, you know, but it just doesn't get that sort of, you know, it doesn't have that sort of, you know, lasting appeal that where, you know, they played like continuously, and also playing the songs from the other countries, which does actually happen in Europe. I mean, you will get, if you're in Germany, for example, you'll hear the German song, you will also hear the French song, you'll hear the Luxembourg song, and so on and so on. So it's a difference in approach, I believe. And I honestly think if Ireland was staging this year's contest, I think it'll be different. You know, I think there'll be a lot more interest in, you know, what's going on and stuff. Yeah. But we're not, you know, it's in Sweden. So,
I see where, and it was in the Sun, Ken Sweeney, the story in the last day or two, that there's now been a piano and vocal, sort of a crooner version of Doomsday Blue has been recorded to go out to some of the radio stations to see can it get played, even though the original version will still feature on stage in Malmo.
Yeah, there's also a karaoke album, I think, which has been brought out by the producers of Eurovision this year. So quite a number of different versions of songs are going to be appearing on that album as well. So I think that's just part of the way the approach they're taking to the contest this year. You know, I think that, I mean, Sweden, I mean, let's be honest, Sweden will throw the kitchen sink at this, as they do when they host the contest. It'll be a big, big event. And there's a lot. Now, it's interesting as well, like there's obviously there's other political things going on with this year's contest as well. But just from an actual show point of view, like the Swedes really, really, they're one of the, they're a great broadcaster when it comes to doing this event. And I think we can all agree that it'll be a well worth watching. And I'm sure, like, I mean, they're, the stage construction is already done now in Malmo. Yeah. And they'll be doing what the stand-in rehearsals are happening at the moment. This is when basically, like Down Doomsday Blue would have had to have submitted back in March exactly what they need on stage, the lighting, the any fireworks, any sort of props or whatever, and then what happens is then there's camera rehearsals with stand-ins in Sweden, like in the in the weeks running up to that. You see them, and if you have your YouTube, and you can see like the stand-ins for various singers over the years doing it.
It's about a full month.
Of this show. So, I mean, the last bit of it, funnily enough, is when the singers turn up and they just do quick camera rehearsals with them in the week before, but they've done a huge amount of work in the run-up.
Of course, 50 years on from when ABBA won, is there any hope at all, Dermot, that they will even endorse this on the night?
Well, people expect Benny, Bjorn Ulvaeus does have a huge, he seems to be the kind of publicity master of ABBA. And he, for example, rocked up on a video I saw on the 6th of April, which was the 50th anniversary. There's a general expectation that he'll be there in some shape or form. A lot of people think actually the Avatars will turn up. This is the show in London.
If
you haven't seen it, by the way, it's well worth the trip over. It's a brilliant show. So that they may appear in that format in some shape or form. Now, I'm not sure if that will work, because that does require huge specialist screens and cameras and various bits and pieces, but there's a general feeling that in some shape, matter, not maybe a video message could certainly happen, but yes, we've already heard that Sweden, they said that they will acknowledge the 50th anniversary in some shape during the three.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I would have to. Can I talk for a moment, Dermot, with you about the elephant in the room? And I know that over the years you have always shied, when you can, away from the politics. But the push against Eurovision now, because of Israel's involvement in the context of what's going on in Gaza, is there a feeling out there that they shouldn't be there?
Well, I mean, there was a large element in the first few weeks, particularly when the Israel was confirmed for the contest, and that was at the time when a lot of the national finals and selection shows were happening around Europe. So, in various places, these singers, like in Iceland and in Finland and wherever, were asked their opinion: if you win this, will you go? Because of Israel being there. I mean, my feeling on it is, you know, the contest is run by the EBU; they have set rules, and you know, if a country country complies with the rules and is eligible to compete, then they should be eligible to compete. And that's simply the way it is. I mean, obviously, but I'm not naive either. And it will be very interesting when I'm in Malmo and in 3 weeks' time, as you said, to see how it actually plays out on the ground. I mean, we've heard, for example, that the Israeli delegation will be very, very small this year. They won't be going with all the, they won't be having any big parties, as they usually do every year. They won't be attending the opening ceremonies, which is that they have a speech called the turquoise carpet, like a red carpet event a week before. They won't be at that. I believe they're going to be sequestered in a hotel outside of the city in an unknown location. So, I mean, from a security, it's fascinating to see how it plays out from a security point of view.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, the EBU is very adamant that this is a non-political event. They run it, not Sweden. So it's an EBU are the people that produce this event. They have the rules for it. And, you know, and watch them. It will happen. And the thing about Eurovision as well is, and it's important to remember, the voting system is set up. It's not like Big Brother, where you vote for somebody you want to evict from the house. So you vote against somebody in Big Brother. You know, in Eurovision, you can only vote for a song. You can't vote against it. And the reality is, you know, there are enough people out there will, you know, like the Israeli song, or they will support Israel or whatever. So there's a very strong chance they will qualify. They're predicted to qualify in the betting odds as well. And, you know, how will they do in the final? Who knows? But they will be there, and I think the reality as well is it'll depend on what happens in Israel and Gaza during the week. Say some enormous god awful thing happens while we're actually there, I think it will be very difficult for the organisers to completely ignore it. But, you know, hopefully that won't happen. And, you know, we just get through the week, you know. And but I mean, by the end of the day, the performer, I mean, the rules are the rules. And if someone's entitled to perform, they're entitled to have their moment, 3 minutes on stage like everyone else, and move on, hopefully.
All right. Dermot, we shall speak while you're in Malmo 3 weeks from today. 3 weeks from today is the first semi-final. I believe Bambi Thug will sing fourth on the night in response to Jer. Here's our Bambi. This, by the way, it is since 1979. Bambi is the first Cork artist from Macroom, remember? Bambi's the first Cork artist to represent Ireland since 1979. Candy from Muckia joins me because there is a night to be held on the 11th of May on Eurovision night, which is called Queens for Palestine, and it's been organised by Machia. It's in opposition to Eurovision. Candy, it must be a difficult position to be in, given that Bambi would be a member of the LGBTQ plus community, to be having an anti-Eurovision night. Why are you doing it? Good morning.
Hey, PJ, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, completely, 100%. But I can say that we do have Bambi and a lot of people in Eurovision Act support. We'd host a lot of Eurovision screenings. I'm a massive Eurovision fan, so it was a really tough decision to come to. But as you can imagine, over the last couple of months, there was a lot of rumblings and a lot of people asking us, are you going to cancel it? We had a lot of Eurovision acts from previous years booked to perform on the night as well in the PAV. You know, we had a screening last year that was massive. Mm. And as Eurovision fans, we were really, really excited for this year.
It is easier to get tickets for Eurovision than it is for your nights. And that's true.
So, I mean, yeah, look, it was something that we were working very, very hard on, our Eurovision screening this year. And like I said, we had a lot of acts from previous years booked. And it just got to the point a couple of months ago where we all had a massive group discussion, you know, Machia, the PAV, and these Eurovision acts. And we were in 100% agreement that we had to listen to people. You know, there's a lot of Palestinian groups and people in Palestine calling for a boycott. And when you see the horrific happenings over there, it was kind of an easy call to go, listen, do we support this music competition that, yes, is important to us and we love and we've grown up with, or do we support the Palestinian people? And that's what we've chosen to do.
It is a music competition. Is that not, and I'm only putting it out, is that not where the discussion should end? It is a music contest.
I think so. The Eurovision has really statements, right, saying that it's just a music competition. And I think anybody that knows Eurovision knows that over the last few years, it's become a very political contest, and it really boils down to the double standards of the EBU. When Russia invaded Ukraine, Russia were taken out of the Eurovision. And that's what should have happened.
That's
Israel.
A fair point. That's been made many times. And in fact, we all kind of knew, to be fair, didn't we, Candy, from the start that year, that it was a case of who was coming second, because Ukraine were going to win as an international vote of solidarity,
100%.
No matter who they sent. Now, there were those who said it was wrong that that happened, but it happened. That's what the public vote does. So one would think
it happened.
Think that Israel will get its message from the
public. Exactly. And I'm not going to lie, as a massive Eurovision fan, I was obviously working on our event for about 6 months, booking all these acts, praying that Israel would be taken out. And I kind of, to be honest, was a bit naive. I just assumed that they would. And then it came to the decision that they were going ahead and, you know, our Eurovision acts were talking to us. And we just had to go with the decision of running our event. And it was basically there's a Cork Palestinian Solidarity group reached out to us, and they saw that we cancelled it. And they said, listen, it's brilliant that you've cancelled it, but why don't you do something really positive and still bring people together and do something for the community, which is kind of what Machia is all about. And we decided to just do a really big night. It's a big cabaret, big club night, and all the profits and donations will go to Palestinian charities. And it's a tough one, because a lot of the queens and a lot of the acts are quite good friends with Bambi Thug, and Bambi Thug has been to our show. We've spoken about doing, hopefully, fingers crossed, a big homecoming for them with Machia in the summer. And they are supportive of this night. It's just, people have to remember, acts like Bambi Thug and Ali Alexander in the UK, they're all under very, very tough contracts, and they're in the competition now. So I really don't think it's the acts that should be boycotted or targeted. Bambi Thug is an incredible artist. We're all so proud of them. It's just a shame that this year, you know, like you said, the first year in so many years that a Cork artist is representing us, a queer artist, a non-binary artist is representing us. I feel bad, because it's tainted by what's happening.
Yeah, and an artist that's kicking it out of the ballpark in the run-up. Like, there's some serious moves. I mean, like, I watched, as Dermot suggested there, Candy, I watched last night some of the film on YouTube. Okay, some of it's a bit grainy. It's mobile phone stuff. But Bambi is kicking
They're
it out of the
They're getting a massive reaction.
Absolutely.
They're getting a massive reaction. Yeah, yeah. And listen, I've, again, a lot of mutual friends, and Bambi's been to our show. I've spoken to Bambi, and we've been sharing Bambi's music video and the tracks. We're 100% behind them. We just sadly won't be watching, because we have to stick to our guns and stick to the boycott. But hopefully in the summer we're going to link up and do something with them. And I wish them the best of luck. I hope they win. I think it would be incredible. Yeah.
And so the 11th Eurovision night at the Pav, what have you got?
So we have 16 acts from all across Ireland, drag, burlesque, cabaret, music, massive club night afterwards. And basically, it's just going to be a night for everybody to come together. Instead of staying at home, all the profits and donations then will be working with the Cork Palestine Solidarity Campaign to get that money where it needs to go. But it's going to be a brilliant night. So if anybody's thinking of boycotting, just come along with us. And it's going to be very positive. You know, we're going to be, again, championing Bambi on the night. So anyone who's around, we'd love to see your support.
All right. Okay. Kenny Warhol, one of the leading drag acts in Ireland. And it's sad to see that happening, but you understand where they're coming from. It's called Queens for Palestine at the Pav on Saturday, May the 11th, the night of Eurovision itself. But in the same breath, they still want Bambi Thug to win. And I think, to be fair, so do an awful lot of people. Kevin says, the more I hear that song, the more I like it. Dance floors are hopping. Says dance floors are hopping, Kev. I'm hearing that from around Europe, because in the run-up to Eurovision, DJs will start trying to break a floor. See, can big songs work? And the great songs that have won Eurovision, I speak of particularly Euphoria. Euphoria was cracking dance floors apart weeks before Eurovision. And I get the message coming in to me from jocks all over the place that, you know, Doomsday Blue is working. It's working on the dance floor, which is a very important place.
Cork's 96 FM.